Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today we're going to have a great guest. I was just talking to her about it a few minutes ago. I have not had a woman on the show yet, so I'm really excited to bring some new energy, some different energy from what we normally have on the show. And we have Allie on the show today, and she's going to give us a quick background about, you know, where she came from, how she got started on her journey to where she is in life right now. Hi, Allie. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm pretty sure everyone is excited to hear what you have to say and bring some different energy for once.
Awesome. Well, should I just dive right in?
Yeah, you know what? You know, just to give you guys a quick background about Allie, she has a really good product out. It's a real estate investing product that allows people to get into real estate as little as 5% down. So we talk about getting into real estate on our show a lot. And so, Allie, give us a little bit of background about how people can get into real estate with the 5% down. But before we get there, let us know how you got started into real estate and what made you come up with this particular product in the first place.
Yeah. So I always joke that my journey in real estate actually started when I was a little kid. I would, after church every Sunday, go into the newspaper of my local hometown and circle all of the open houses that I thought were interesting and then force my parents to drive me to each one of them. And at an early age was trying to pitch them on, you know, why it would be such a good idea if they sold their house and bought this one because it was in a better neighborhood or had better characteristics, which we like still joke about to this day. So as a kid, I was always interested in the space. I had the fortune earlier in my career to enter into the tech space, but that love for real estate was always still there. And I was doing things kind of on the side personally. But then at my last company, had the opportunity to really marry, my tech career with my love of real estate and join a real estate technology company. And from there, really, you know, joined very early on as a very early employee and had the opportunity to really build out all the different functions of that organization. But most importantly, the opportunity to build quite a large single family rental real estate fund and execute on that. And that's really where I learned a lot of the ins and outs of how to think about investing, how to structure it at scale and operate properties at scale and so forth. And so coming out of that experience, I knew I'd always wanted to start my own company. And one thing I was really passionate about was how can I help others become real estate investors? Personally, I think it's one of the best individual investments we can all make, especially over a lifetime as you look at a long horizon. And so our company is really focused on doing just that. We actually help customers, retail investors get into buying their first investment property, their 50th investment property, by partnering with them on the down payment. So we're in a co-investment product where we partner alongside our customers and help increase, you know, their purchasing power when they're buying investment property or help them scale their capital while they're growing their portfolios. And so we're really excited. We've recently launched here in the past month and have had insane amount of demand from consumers that want to partner with us. So we're like really, really excited about what the future holds.
So we're going to reach back on that because I obviously have a real estate investing platform as well. So we'll definitely have to connect on that. But you mentioned working in technology. You worked at Uber for a little bit. So I'm trying to figure out if there's a connection between, because I worked at Silicon Valley Bank. And so the idea for InvestSpark came up with me seeing different things going on at the bank and seeing different ideas and new innovations come out. When working at Uber, did you kind of get like, you know what, let me come up with a plan or an idea on how I can found something? Because I got the idea from a company in Africa who, you know, they had some kind of payment. So you working at Uber, did you see something with something that Uber did that made you want to co-found something where people couldn't put 5% down as far as payment for getting into real estate? Is there a kind of connection there?
You know, not a direct connection like that, but I will say my time at Uber definitely made me believe that like this is the industry and like space I want to stay in forever, and motivated me to believe that, you know, I would have a chance someday of actually co-founding something myself and being like a true entrepreneur. And that was more so just like the energy and environment of that company, you know, in the earlier days, and the people that I worked with too. So many of the folks I've worked with have now gone off and started their own companies. And I can say the same for Bungalow, which was the real estate startup I was at previously. You know, half of my former colleagues are now, you know, seed stage founders. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. When you're working in technology, I think it just sparks something in your brain to make you more creative and innovative, and you look at life kind of different, at least from my experience. And based on what you're saying, you kind of had that, and a lot of your colleagues did as well. So with your time at Bungalow, you know, you were the person in charge of, you know, spearheading $700 million in a real estate fund. How do you go about doing that? Because we talk a lot about syndication and being able to buy properties using other people's money. And I mean, you raised $700 million. So give us some tips on how people can create a fund or do something like that.
Yeah, I do have to give the whole team credit and our partners, you know, that we partnered with across the board in terms of raising all that capital. It wasn't me solely. So credit where credit's due. But I think for us, when, you know, at Bungalow, it was really being able to unlock a unique insight and you know, in real estate, that's always how can you make more money with your asset. So Bungalow had really solved a need in the market, which was roommate housing. And what they found was that the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. And what I mean by that is there's an opportunity to increase the NOI of a property when you rent out by the room and you've built this whole infrastructure to support roommate living. So that was a really unique insight that we were able to raise capital on, and especially in a period where, you know, we've seen a lot of institutions enter into the single family rental space. You start to see a ton of cap rate compression as everybody's going after the exact same asset type. It's like, you know, stereotypical kind of like workforce housing, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, geared towards family, typically suburban type of inventory. For us, we were going after a completely different asset. We were going urban core, tier one cities, and really focusing on how can we maximize NOI via the roommate model. So that was really, really unique from a fundraising perspective. But I think for folks that are starting out and like in terms of raising their own opportunities, it comes back down to like that strategy. Like, why is what you're doing more unique, or what is the insight that you bring to the table for your investors that they can't get somewhere else? Because there are so many options these days in terms of real estate investing, of where I can invest my capital to put it to work. So I think it's really unique for folks, like whether you're an expert on a specific market or whether you're running a unique strategy like travel nurse housing or things like that. That's like those are unique insights that I think you can bring to the table for your investor base that adds value across the sea of opportunity.
You're saying basically to have a niche in the real estate investing space, correct?
Totally. Yeah.
So me working in real estate for such a long time, it's rare that you run across a powerful woman, just being honest, in real estate, right? So give me your experience, because I mean, a lot of times women don't really feel like they can jump into real estate and be a great investor and do some of the things that you're doing and reach the level that you have in real estate. So what's been your key, and what do you think, how is it for you being a woman in the real estate investing space to this level?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. It's so funny. I'm aware of it, but I'm never aware of it all at the same time. We're going into meetings, starting to build relationships, fundraising. I never think about like, oh, I'm the only woman in the room or things like that. It's really like, I think in something I continue to work on in my professional career is like building the confidence that you deserve to be here just as much as everyone else. Mm-hmm. And for myself, I'm like constantly, I do, you know, have to give myself those little pep talks, but it just comes down to like, I absolutely love this space. I think about it all the time. I wanted to dedicate my life to building a company in this space. And so for me, it's just like, of course I'm going to keep going. Like, of course I like want to be successful, that all of those things, you know, you just kind of keep pushing through because this is what I love to do. And I want to be successful.
So with so many different narratives going around, but it's like you're saying, you've never had any kind of roadblocks or any man be like, you know what, get out of here. Or, this is not where you belong. Right. Do you think it's more so like a mindset thing, kind of like you said, you belong in this space? Or have you kind of encountered some guys being like, do you find that they're helpful to you trying to get you to be more productive in this space or help you facilitate different deals?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've definitely faced the whole, well, one, I'm like relatively on the younger side and have been the past couple of years or earlier in my career. Mm-hmm. And so being in those conversations when not only are you a girl, but you're also younger than everyone else too, it definitely creates like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm. But I've found that staying persistent, leading with data and facts and the numbers is what wins in the long term. And then I think for us in the space and for everyone who is raising money and things like that is like being realistic about outcomes and not overselling, especially when it comes to your assumptions. Like, what is the most conservative outlook look like? And are you able to actually like communicate that to your investors versus selling the rosy picture of, you know, everything's going to appreciate another 11% this year? Like, it's not. So let's plug in some realistic assumptions here and have the bear case conversation up front. I think that actually like creates a lot of respect, especially from folks if they are trying to like believe in you or funding you, whether that's your company or your actual fund or a syndicate. Mm-hmm. I think that that goes a long way.
So you're kind of like me, right? We're both like kind of minority in this space in different ways. And so I think.
How have you dealt with it?
I mean, the pushback, because I'm an investor and I'm really strategic about the market that I'm in. But what I found out with me being in my finance, in my area, is knowledge, right? So a person can feel a certain type of way about you, but if you provide a certain level of value that they can't get or they can't figure out on their own, and if you didn't have knowledge, like you're saying, you have data and information, they have to respect you. They have to be like, okay, regardless of what this person looks like, she knows her stuff or he knows his stuff. And I mean, they just gave me some stuff that I didn't even know. So you provide a value on another level that they've been dealing with certain people for so long and they couldn't even provide it. So that's just for me, from my experience, is being able to just know so much about so many different things that they have to respect my knowledge and be like, you know what, let me keep going back to him because I made a certain amount of money off this deal or he gave me some insight that I didn't know. So I think that's what my thing is being able to provide value. And that's what it is.
Yeah, 1,000%. I couldn't agree with that more. And then once you provide value, people start to trust you. And then once you have their trust, you can grow and scale with them. So you couldn't have said that better.
Exactly. And that's what I think it is. I think, you know, obviously, you know, I talk about the narrative a lot on here. There's so many different things out there that people are scared or fear is the main trigger, I think, in preventing people from getting into a space because a lot of people don't like rejection. But I think if you know your stuff before you get into any arena and you know, first impressions are everything. And so for me, my portfolio has grown with so many different people, not because of marketing, but it's just like word of mouth, like, oh, hey, Allie knows her stuff or hey, Andre knows his stuff. Yeah. And then they start referring other people to you and then it just steamrolls from that point on.
Love that. Totally. So
within your own portfolio, do you have partners who you've used to help you build your portfolio out? Or you kind of been solo, you know, kind of like I've been doing with building your...
Totally. So personally, I have been at it solo. Mm. And then obviously for our company, we've raised external capital. So it's interesting. I don't know. I don't know personally if I will start, at least in the next couple of years, raising outside capital to grow my own portfolio, just because it takes time and energy and effort. And then you have a level of duty and service to perform, like, you know, live up to expectations for your investors. Mm-hmm. And I have to do that all day, every day in my life. My 9 to 5, which is really 7 to 9 PM job. So it's a kind of one thing at a time and fully focused on the company right now.
So how did you end up finding your co-founder to help you out? Was it from Bungalow?
Yeah, we were super, super fortunate. So we actually worked together at Bungalow, specifically on that large fund that I mentioned earlier. And it was like a perfect pairing in the sense that I run the business side of the real estate side of things. And then he is technical and runs product design and engineering. And so we have very complementary skill sets, but have seen a lot of the same problem and, you know, have reps in the space. That's really helpful.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I could get into real estate investing? You can change this as quickly or as slowly as you want to now. Imagine yourself networking and making new connections in real estate globally, or buying an investment property in a market or country that fits your needs. People do. They know what I'm talking about. And now you can too with InvestFAR. Connect and join the network. Remote investing made safe and easy.
So when you guys founded Hammock, what was your first idea on creating this product? Did you like, you know, I want to create an app, I want to create a website? And how do you get the 5% down? How can someone get into a product like that? You know, what are the different channels that they use to put the 5% down?
In terms of different channels, help me clarify that a little bit.
Well, so like for me, for instance, I have a mobile app and I have a website. Hammock is, what's your go-to? Like, what are you guys, your product for Hammock?
Yeah. So we have a website and an online application. So very similar to an app on your phone. It's web-based. So when you become, and one thing just to call out, we were playing around with names of the company and we decided to go with Getaway. So for everyone listening, it's Getaway. But in terms of when you become one of our customers, so you create an account, you actually then have your own like investor portal. And from there, there's kind of like three main views and how you can interact with us early on. One is committing a deal, which is more standard that you see in the market of, hey, I found this property, submit it to our team. We underwrite it on our side. We let you know, yep, this absolutely works. Here's how we can partner together. Or unfortunately, it doesn't qualify for our product. The second is where we actually, you know, highlight opportunities all over the country. And, you know, over time, our goal is to essentially underwrite every single property for sale in the US and to our product and let folks know how much, you know, it would be to enter into purchasing that product through us. But right now we have, you know, highlights of properties that qualify, so folks can get a sense of different types of properties, where they are, what kind of return it looks like, how much will they need in terms of like initial investment amount and so forth. And then the third, which is like what I'm the most excited about, I think this is the coolest piece, like where tech really comes into play, is that same ability to underwrite everything in a market. We overlay it with our investors' actual buy box preferences or investment criteria. And so then we essentially have like a saved search on top of a live software that's underwriting everything continuously. So we can instantaneously say, hey, Andre, like this fits your buy box. It fits with our product. Here's all the metrics. Like, are you interested in hit and go on this property? And then we want to be able to productize that flow from search and discovery all the way through to transaction, through to ongoing management, all within that investor portal. So that is like our end state goal, is just having one vertically integrated solution for real estate entrepreneurs where they can just, you know, do everything they need within our ecosystem.
So with the 5% down, what kind of equity would the person get in the property, I guess?
Yeah. So the way that we structure the 5%, the way we structure our investment is we actually come into the deal as preferred equity. So we're coming into the equity stack or the down payment amount, the liquid amount required for the lender, but it's structured as a set rate on that principal invested. So in a lot of ways it acts, it's more like mezzanine debt, or, you know, in more layman's terms, like a piggyback mortgage in a sense, where it's really based on the principal that we bring into the deal. So that's like a set interest rate annually, and then a balloon payment at the fifth year.
Okay. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. So then what markets are you guys in? I know you guys were just talking about, what markets are you guys in?
So right now we are servicing just about the whole US. There's like eight states off the top of my head. I'm not going to get them right. Come to our website to check that out. But we service just about every state you'd be interested in purchasing a property. And so, yeah, so we're pretty flexible in terms of geo.
And how do you guys acquire the assets? So you have a asset manager that provides the properties, or how does that work?
So right now we are focused on active listings, like on the MLS. Our goal is that over time we'll be able to add more sources like auction sites, off-market listings, things like that. But currently in our current state, we're focused on, you know, live MLS listings.
Okay. That makes sense too. And that's an easy IDX feed that can go into the platform. Yes,
totally. But if our customers find something like really unique off-market, again, they can submit a deal and we'll underwrite it and work with them. Like actually someone came in this morning who negotiated like an awesome seller financing term, and we're looking to partner with them on that. So there's some unique and interesting things we can do.
I like that. I mean, you guys, you know, if someone brings you a deal, you can decide to fund the whole entire thing and they only have to put 5% down, which is pretty cool as well. So with you working in tech, now you're in tech too. So your experience in tech, and there's not a lot of women in tech. What kind of advice do you have to women in general, based on what's going around and different narratives, for them getting into real estate or them getting into technology? Because a lot of times, again, you don't see it that much. So what kind of advice do you have for people trying to get into any of these spaces?
Yeah, I think that if you know that this is a space you want to be in, the best route and way to get there is going to work at a company in this space. Like for me, the only reason I was able to raise venture capital funding was because of my experience first at Uber and then at Bungalow, and being able to say, I've seen a company scale, I've been in this ecosystem. And I even remember, like, I went to work at Uber. I wanted to work there so badly, but I didn't really have any friends there to refer me or anything. And so I applied to like 70 different roles. I was so hell bent on like getting my door, my foot in the door there, because I thought it was such a cool company at the time. And so being willing to do that stuff, because, you know, for me, then the next thing was like, I really wanted to be in prop tech and I really wanted to, you know, be closer to real estate. So like, I was so laser focused on making sure that I was getting a role in that space. And like, if you keep focusing on, okay, what is your end goal? And like, how can you work with a company? How can you meet people in the space? How can you potentially like get a mentor or folks that just start building those relationships? Everything becomes easier down the road when you actually want to start raising capital and just building that credibility. So I would just give any female out there, if you're looking at the space, whether that's tech or real estate, really think about, you know, different companies that you would be interested in working with, and really work toward getting your foot in the door there. Because once you build those relationships, you have them for life.
It's funny because I have a book called Epitome of the Mind. It just came out April 18th. And I talk about developing your expertise in that book. And in that book, I give different examples on me working at the bank. And from what I worked in entertainment for a while, but then I left entertainment and went and worked at the bank. And then from one bank, I went to become a business banker. Then from there, I got into a commercial real estate bank. And then from commercial real estate, I went to a tech bank. So everything that I did led up to me doing what I'm doing right now. I took every single job that I took, it was for me to develop an expertise to do exactly what I'm doing right now. So I, like you were saying, get into, take a job in a field of where you see yourself progressing and doing something after that. You can take those skills that you learn and turn it into a business. And so I think that's based on what you're saying. If you want to, you know, get into a certain industry, you obviously got to get your foot in the door. If you don't know anybody, but just take your time within that space and just go to the next job. You know what I mean? Go to the next job that's going to do like you did. You went from Uber to Bungalow because Bungalow was real estate. And from there, you have Gateway. So, I mean, Getaway. So I think that's a good tip. I mean, what's the web address so people can go there and take a look at the offering?
Yeah, it's getaway.co. So no M, that throws some people off. Hopefully someday we'll have that M. But yeah, check us out at getaway.co.
And so you mentioned it a few minutes ago. Did you find it difficult to raise funds? How many times? And I've brought a bunch of VCs on here. So how many times did you go and how many VCs did you see before you were able to achieve the financing round?
We did a lot, a lot of meetings. It was in a very condensed time frame. I think we spoke to over 50 different VC firms. And part of that was finding the right fit. And and then there was also a bit of, once you have an offer on the table, you also want to talk to other folks and see if it could be a fit for them and gives you a little bit more leverage too. But we sprinted at that. I believe that was like over a 3-week period. It was fast and very aggressive. I feel like I blacked out for the 3 weeks of constant meeting. But thank God for Zoom, because I've only raised in this post-pandemic world. But my understanding is previously, like, you were meeting in person with everyone. I feel like it would take so much longer to do.
I was going to say, the fact that you did that in 3 weeks is amazing, but I forgot it was because of Zoom. Because I worked at Silicon Valley Bank, and I know when it came to raising funds, and even myself, I think I've only tried to raise funds 4 times, and I've only seen 4 VCs, but I know that it takes a lot of work. That's like the harder, it's like another job, right? When you're trying to raise funds. And I don't think people understand 100%. That. It's not easy. And a lot of times, again, the narrative goes out there. They think everyone gets funded. Everyone doesn't get funded. You know what I mean? That's like a 2% chance your business is going to get funded. You know what I mean?
Totally. And I think the market in our world, the market has shifted quite a bit too. So we're going to see a lot of interesting things happen over the next year when it comes to venture capital and some of these early stage startups.
You know what? I also find, I don't know, what do you think about crowdfunding? I think crowdfunding is probably going to take over the venture capital space, because I mean, there's hundreds of companies that are trying to get started and they all get told no, and it's so time consuming versus you going on a platform like StartEngine or WeFund. What do you think about those platforms? What's your take on those?
I think it's really cool. I think, you know, it's a huge leg up for consumer based businesses because you have your customers to speak to. So for us, that's definitely something that I think we'll explore in the future. I could see it being like really tough for B2B businesses. If I'm building like a developer tool that I sell to like mid-stage startups, it's like, I don't know how much they're going to do, how well they're going to do on a crowdfunding platform. But on the consumer side, I love it. I've actually seen, you know, a few companies, you know, in our space that started around the same time be really successful on the crowdfunding route. So more power to you if you have that. I, like, love the engaging consumer base.
So you guys have been in business for a couple of years. How many rounds have you raised so far?
So we are still sub 1 year. So we raised our seed round last end of May, beginning of June. So we're just coming up on our 1 year mark.
Nice. Good for you guys. Cause that's, I mean, I've been at it for a while. But in my defense, again, like I said, I've only tried to raise funds like twice and I had a couple of VCs interested. But like you said, it's so time consuming and I'm a solo founder. So I use real estate as my tool I flip properties. I do all of that stuff still to keep the platform going. And I have considered raising funds now. So I'm in the process of doing the same thing. But so I'm just curious of, you know, because you're a background and you have raised funds. And for other people to hear this, you know, what that experience is like.
Totally. And I have to give you major kudos for doing the solo route.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's hard.
I don't think people understand how lonely being an entrepreneur is. And then to do it, you know, I'm fortunate enough I have a co-founder to commiserate with, but to do it by myself, like, I don't know if I have it in me. So I like have to give you a lot of kudos. Like, I don't think people give enough credit of like how difficult that is to like really carry the weight solely on your shoulders all the time.
I appreciate that because no one knows. I get on here, I do podcasts, and I've like written 2 books. I've done a lot of things. And at the same time, I've scaled the platform to have an office in Colombia, right? We have properties all over the world. And that's extremely hard to do as a solo founder. So I appreciate you for everybody listening. Hey, she just told you guys I think people love the idea of being an entrepreneur, right? And then they don't know, like they see the they see the glory, but they don't know the story. So they see these companies Jeff Bezos has done. And like, do you know how hard it is to get to 25 employees? Right. So imagine someone having like 16,000, you know what I mean? The narrative is always bashing CEOs of large corporations, but you know, Jeff Bezos is bald for a reason, you know?
Totally.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah, it is not. To everyone out there who's thinking about starting a company, do not think it's glitz and glamour. Hard work.
But I think the beauty of it is like, if you run a successful company, I think you get the benefit of your own time. You make your own schedule. Yeah. At least I do. And I'm pretty sure you're a founder too. So you get to make your own schedule to fit what your needs are. Like, you want to go work out, or you want to go lunch with your spouse or significant other, whatever the case is, you can do that. And then on the other side of that, you know what I mean? When it does pay off, if you are consistent, it's a lot larger than you keeping a job for 25 years. You know what I mean? So the sacrifice, I think, is worth it in the long run.
And I will say too, like, your learning curve is much faster. Like, I feel like I've learned more in this last year being a founder than I did in 4 years working at a company. Like, and I feel like I learned so much then too. So it's just, you're forced to figure stuff out every day. And there's no one else to be like, hey, can you do this? Or can you help me? Like, especially at the early stages, it's like literally sink or swim. You got to swim.
And you went to Carnegie Mellon. You went to a top university, and it still didn't prepare you for what you're doing right now.
Oh my gosh, no. I don't think there's anything until you're in it.
Correct.
Obviously, like, you can have experience, you can have expertise, you can have all these things that get you better prepared. But I don't think people understand until you're really in it. Like, I actually didn't. I thought it was going to be way more
easier, right?
Yeah, like, oh, I have a cool idea. Like, of course everybody's going to love it.
If they don't. Oh man, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, Allie, give the website one more time, and then how can people reach out to you on LinkedIn or social media if they won't have any questions about your product or more about you?
Yeah. So again, our website is getaway.co.co. Please check us out. And if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, I'm semi-decent about keeping up with my messages, but it's just Allie, A-L-I, Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S. You'll find me. And I'm trying to work on my Twitter game to everybody, right? But I have not had the time to like really, really invest in becoming active on Twitter, but hopefully you'll see me there soon. So it's just ALI, the number 5, and then Sense, C-E-N-T-S, like Allie 5 cents, Allie Nichols.
Well, Allie, we're definitely going to connect. One thing I'll say, and we'll get off, we're not got time. Like she said about social media, like, when you're running a company, you're a founder, it's really hard. Like, so many people reach out to me on LinkedIn or Instagram, and you just can't do it. So, you know, if you reach out to any of us and we can't get back to you, it's not because we're not, you know, interested. It's just like, we just truly don't have time.
Yeah, totally.
All right, Allie, we will connect again. I will reach out to you myself. I'm interested in learning more about what you guys do over there and see if there's any kind of synchronicities that we can have with it, Best Far and Getaway.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Allie.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money.
Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.